Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. And so we are here tonight to minister to you personally and pray for you and believe God with you. So sorry, I don't know what happened. Somehow my show got canceled or I never wrote it up or whatever. I'm not sure what happened. But anyway, I am here. And good to be with you guys tonight. I'm going to give everybody a minute to get on. Maybe I should contact everyone and say I'm on now. All right. Give me just a moment here. Yes, I do have a show tonight. I apologize. I don't know what happened. Somehow I didn't have a show, but I either canceled it accidentally or never put it up there. So had a show in 24 hours, but not tonight, right? So it's crazy. Anyway, whatever it was, I'm sure it's probably my fault, but there we go. We're here tonight, so we're going to pray for you, believe God with you tonight. Hopefully everybody's doing well. I know that there's a lot of things going around, and some of us are catching it like I did. Just kind of like a light flu, really light flu, but just lingers on. Mine is getting better every day. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus, for your health and wealth and blessing. All right, so we got off to a little rough start tonight because I didn't have a show up there, but we got it going on now, so here we are. All right. Hopefully you're all doing well tonight, and if you're not, we're going to be praying for you. Of course, we're going to pray for everybody tonight. Tonight is Wednesday night where we pray for everyone and everybody. Not one person will walk away without a word tonight or some type of prayer ministry. So that's what we do on Wednesdays. We make sure that we minister to every person. I thought it was a really great idea. I can't remember when we came up with this. It's been maybe a year ago or so, but started thinking we need to have a night where we just no talking, just go, 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 one person after the other. So we started doing that, and I've been really pleased with it because I feel personally better that no one's being left behind, basically. So, yeah, it's raining in Dallas, in Garden. I'm in Garden still. I'm not going to go back to work, working for my loved ones. Until I totally recover. I'm going to be totally recovered before I go back. So pray for me. Thank you for doing that. And I'm doing better. I never did really bad. I couldn't break through doing good. So, I mean, breaking through with good here and there, and then it goes back a little bit. Break through with good a little bit, and then it goes back. So it's just really weird. Jeannie from Texas, she's kind of having the same problem with her stuff. So maybe I'm not the only person. So if you're dealing with COVID in any fashion or form, or the flu symptoms, or whatever you think you have, it is no fun at all. Yeah. And you know us men, when we get feeling bad, like, yeah, anyway. All right, so really cool. So we are going to believe God with you tonight for whatever you need, whatever you want from the Lord, from your desire realm. The desire realm of God inside with you, inside of you. And yeah. All right. So let's see what's going on here. And see what's going on. All right. I think one of the things that we're going to see God do with preachers is God's really going to convict all of us preachers and teachers and prophesiers or whatever you want to call us to make sure that we're not promoting fear of the wrong kind, only promoting the reverential fear and awe of God. And so that's something that I see that, we have enough trouble from the devil, right? Kind of put fear on us and create problems without preachers preaching fear, you know, and I think that we've all done it to a certain degree, some more than others. Some of their doctrines are loaded with fear. So my doctrines, I'm sure, have been too, but God's changing them little by little and showing me, Randy, that has fear. That's not, that's promoting fear. That's not promoting faith. But, okay, straighten me out, Lord. So he's straightening me out little by little. And there's probably a lot to straighten out. I don't know. But I do know that we are, you know, trying to move into a place where we're preaching faith, right, not fear. There's a lot of fear being promoted. And I think most of the time we don't even know we're doing it. I think Satan is using us without us knowing it. And it is causing a lot of problems, a lot of problems. So the body of Christ is, on one hand, getting faith teachings, faith words. On the other hand, their fear is being promoted. So, yeah. So I think we're all going to awaken to that. I don't think there's probably not one preacher that has not stepped into that a little bit. So we can't point the finger at anybody, just point the finger at ourselves. But just knowing, I'm just prophesying to you that God is going to start showing preachers, pastors, leaders, where they're promoting fear and causing people to have fear issues, anxiety issues, and don't even know it, right? Because sometimes when, you know, when somebody has a lie inside of them or some kind of a false doctrine or some type of thing that's not right, and you come along and you rattle that cage, fear just manifests. So they blame you for the fear, right? They say, well, you're the one promoting the fear. And what God started showing me was that when you start rattling the cage of some of those, you know, those belief systems and those doctrines and things that go on, that that's what it does. It creates fear, like, oh, no, I've hung on to this all my life, and now it's not true. And fear just tries to seize them, because anytime you try to come out of something, most of the time, if it's not God, if it's just flesh, the flesh of men or the teachings of men, then it ends up, it's wrapped up in such fear that it makes it hard to come out, because every time somebody tries to help you come out, you've hung on to it for so long that it creates this horrible fear of, oh, no, I've been hanging on to this. This has been my lifeline. And if that lifeline is not a lifeline of the Word of God, then it ends up being, you know, not a lifeline of God. It's a lifeline of man. And men cannot walk on the water, right? Men cannot save us. That's one of the things that I see happening big time in the body of Christ. And sometimes, and a lot of it has to do with the money realm also. We'll talk about that just for a second. I don't want to get into it too much. But people will promote fear, and then they raise money with it. You know, telling you that we're all going to go down and, you know, send me some money, and we're going to take care of it over here, you know. Buy my book or whatever, you know. And so it's like we're gonna save you. They promote the fear, and then they turn around and make money off the fear promotion. So yeah. So there's this whole group of fear. It's very demonic. It's very evil. I think every preacher in America can probably, to one degree or another, can say they've done that. With some of it's tradition. Some of it's just stuff that we, you know, picked up, and we're promoting it. We don't even know we're promoting that fear, but it's causing people to they can't figure out why. That was such a great message, such a feel good moment, and yet I walk away in fear because the message is tainted with fear. So the Lord said, I'm purifying the church, I'm cleansing the church where they can see and hear and know my voice, because Jesus never promotes fear is of the devil or of man. He always promotes the reverential fear and awe of God to trust him. Right? So, yeah, so we're going to believe God for that. And the whole thing is that, okay, so I just got a message sent to me, this Garland power outage. Wow. Okay, so we just had a Garland power outage. Oh, boy, that didn't get worse. Where I'm at. Okay. Shannon says, even more is part of a person's identity, that belief system. Okay. The belief system becomes a part of your identity. Yeah, that's good. In my case, I was Baha'i for 19 years, and I put it all on the altar of God. It was a major turning point in my life, and I realized it wasn't the truth. Yeah. You know, I've had some similar things going with me as a believer, as a Christian, not believing in some weird, you know, some off the charts, you know, religion, but just simply some things I believed as a Christian, you know. And, yeah, it's hard to walk away from that stuff because it becomes part of your, like you said, a chain of saying, it becomes part of your identity. You identify your host. You know, we talk about the pre-tribulation rapture a lot. Okay, I know a lot of people believe in it, and I don't. But when somebody's been ingrained all their life and that you're going to, the pre-tribulation rapture is going to save you from the wrath of the devil or whatever wrath is coming. So when you rattle that cage, they freak out. You know, I mean, I would freak out too, right? So it's not like the bad people, they're just religious. Well, no, they're born again believers who have been taught things that when, like right now, you know, you're hearing all kinds of well-known men of God and women of God saying the coming of Christ is at hand. The coming of Christ is at hand. So when you hear that, one of the first things they start hanging on to is that pre-tribulation rapture. And it's just rampant through the body of Christ, as most of you know. And so when you tell people that that's not going to happen, that God's going to take you through it, he's going to bless you and anoint you. And, you know, the Bible says we're not appointed to wrath, but in that particular scripture that they use, it's not even talking about that kind of wrath. It's talking about the wrath of eternal hell. Because one of the wraths that God has for people is eternal hell. And that's what that wrath is. You go look it up for yourself. I couldn't believe when I actually finally went and read it and looked at it when it says we're not appointed under wrath. God's people are not appointed to wrath. When I read that scripture, I went, oh, my God. You know, it's not even talking about that. It's talking about eternal hell. Once you're born again, you're no more appointed to eternal hell, to eternal wrath. Yeah, I mean, it show you the misrepresentation of scripture, and I've done my share of it, y'all. You know, I've done my share of it. So I dare not speak evil of, you know, we're all going to grow and we're all going to learn. And but when you hit a pet doctrine with somebody and they got their whole identity in it, they believed it all their life, they were saved by that doctrine, they got saved because they said if you're not born again, you'll miss the rapture and you'll be here for the Antichrist. You're going to chop your head off. I mean, that's a very well-known message promoted by a lot of people, a lot of preachers that promoted that. And I think that the judgment of God on all of us, if we don't get that right, is going to be, he's going to judge that. And they're going to pay the price for that. People, preachers, teachers, are going to pay the price for promoting that fear. All right. Now we got a lot of people talking about the rapture, got a lot of people talking about all kinds of things. So you know, we're going to have to identify the fear and realize where the fear is coming from. Just because somebody's rattling your cage a little bit about your doctrine and it's making you feel fearful doesn't mean that that person's putting fear on you. Check out your doctrine and see, you know, whether it's right or not, whether that doctrine you're hanging on to is the thing that you're afraid that if that's not true about your pre-tribulation rapture, that you're going to, you know, be here with the Antichrist. And we're not appointed to that, the Bible says. That's what they say the Bible says. It doesn't say that, but that's what they say it says. So there's all kinds of things that doctrines and things that we could talk about, you know, where, you know, fear is being promoted. So God's really going to start bringing us through that. It's one of the things I see going on in the body of Christ. Yeah. All right. I want to talk about what's going on with America real quick. And President Biden is not called to take America down. He's called to make the transfer of America from number one to pass it on to Europe. That's really what's going on. So everything you see, when you understand what's going on, and you see what, I'm not saying even he's doing it on purpose. I don't even know if he knows, if they know they're doing this. They've talked about it for years, so they got to know they're doing it. You know, they've got to know that they're doing that, that that's their motivation. That's what they're doing. That's what they're working on. Right? Because they've talked about how they believe in a one world government. George Bush Sr. talked about that publicly. He believed in a one world government. And so, you know, they really believe it's going to save the world. So, but President Biden is, knowingly or unknowingly, I don't know, he's not going to take America down. He's going to make a transfer over. And so it's going to, so America's going to have to be weakened and all that's going to have to go on in order for that to happen. And then we're going to see a surge of the body of Christ come into unity. We're going to see a surge of Christian systems being established, even the internet, you know, telephone systems, satellites being launched, all kinds of things. And so, Biden is going to make the next bold move to connect the governments of the world. That's what he's doing. That's what they're all involved in. So the reason I'm saying this is because if you haven't a sober-minded thought on what's really going on, then you're going to look at it all as a bunch of stupid, ignorant politicians don't know what they're doing. Now, they know what they're doing, and they are making the bold move to connect the governments of the world, and America is not going to be number one. Europe will be number one. We'll be number two, number three, number four. I don't know where we're going to be at, but it's not going to be, we're not going to have, you know, like some people have threatened and said, if we don't have, we're not number one, we're going to all have soup lines. Well, we don't have to have soup lines. We don't have to have all this stuff going on, but it could if the church doesn't rise up and take its place as America loses its place, the church is going to take its place. And that's one thing that's going to happen is that the America is going to lose its place of first place, and the church is going to find its place of first place with God, right? Making God first and putting God first. That's really what's happening. You have to, there's so much lying going on and promoting the fear, promoting fear, trying to get you to fear this and fear that. And they're not really telling you the truth, what's going on politically. Maybe they don't know or whatever. I don't know. I'm not saying they're out lying, but they're not telling you the truth because they have a revelation on it. And so when you see what's really going on, then you can go, okay, so now I see what's happening. It's not that America is going to go down to hell in a hand, it's going to go to hell in a handbasket. It's that this is the next phase. And when America loses its place, the church is going to find its place. And that's why this is extremely important, because this is what God's doing. It's not me. And I have nothing to do with it except I'm just reporting the news from heaven. So that's what we're going to find. We're going to find that the church is going to, I kind of prophesied on that, right? Yeah. We're going to find that the church is going to find its place. Cages are going to be rattled when they start building the temple. And the church finds out, this is the next phase, man. I'm telling you, y'all ready for this? This is the next phase. They're going to build the temple, and all these pre-trib people are going to start flipping out, trying to find excuses and reasons why we're even still here. You see, that's what's going to happen, y'all. That's what's really going to happen. Yeah, they're going to start building that temple. The temple's going to come together. It's going to be beautiful. And all these pre-trib people, these pre-trib preachers that have promoted tremendous fear, God's going to deal with them in a heavy hand with love. If they repent, they love love, but with a heavy hand, because of what they've tied his people up into knots over all this stuff. And so we're going to see the temple begin to come forth, and it could happen even this year. And as that begins to happen, that we're going to see, it's also another sign that the church is going to be built brand new. We're going to forsake our idolatry of merchandising and selling the body of Jesus. You know, the Word became flesh. The word of God became flesh, became a body, right? And they're selling the body of Jesus. That's the new word on all that. So as the temple starts being built, God's going to, like, rebuild if you will, build a new sanctuary for the Christian realm. And a lot of it's going to have nothing to do with this pre-trib fear-mongering going on, because people are going to realize that these guys just missed it, you know. They just totally missed it. And it's going to cause them to run and hide. They're going to be going like, oh, my God, I'm going to lose my ministry. And like, yep, you probably will. People might start looking for you. I don't know. But they're going to be very ticked off at some of these radical pre-trib preachers that promoted a lot of fear. They've opened up the door for as that comes upon them, it's going to come upon them. Some of them will die from it. Some of them will not. Not like a martyr's death. It's going to be more like a, you know, you lied to us, you promised us, and it didn't happen like you said. So as the temple is built, you know, I sent you guys the card. You haven't got the card yet because you don't have your address or something. I sent them out last Saturday, 22nd. Oh, by today, by the way, today's the 22nd, right? Today's 2/22. February 22nd. Oh, my gosh. Maybe that's why I'm prophesying this stuff. I never thought about that. I didn't plan on coming on prophesying. I was going to try to teach on sex, you know, to try to kind of talk about that and reveal some things about that and why it's so important to understand in the end times what sex is all about and the purpose of it and how God created it so that Satan cannot trip you up and get you involved in things that, you know, they're just going to mess you up. We're going to talk about this soon, and that's what I plan on doing tonight. But, right, again, I start prophesying. So as we see the temple being built in Jerusalem, number one, what's going to start falling? A lot of this fear-mongering, pre-tribulation fear-mongering, is people are going to be ticked off. They're going to have very little patience with these guys because they promoted fear from the time they were children. Many of them got saved by preaching on, you're going to get your head cut off if you don't get right with Jesus, because you're going to be here, you're going to miss it, you're going to miss the rapture. I mean, that's a big, big promotional thing that they did to get people saved. Many, 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 many hundreds or maybe thousands, maybe millions of people got saved by that preaching. One of his preachers, I think he even promoted that stuff too. I'm not sure, but I know his spiritual father, a really great man, a godly man, a well-known man, he told us, you know, it's on YouTube, that he preached those messages to young people, scared the daylights out of them. Oh, but we got lots of results. We got people saved, man. Yep, and wrapped in fear. And, brother, when that is found out to be a lie from hell, that is going to shock people. It's going to shock people. They're going to go into a state of shock. Some people will attack and be ugly. Some people will not. But, okay, so the temple being built, that's going to reveal a lot of the fear-mongering that's gone on. It's going to reveal that a lot of that fear-mongering that they promoted was not good, right? So that's going to start a realm of deliverance from fear. Deliverance from fear. People are going to rededicate themselves to Jesus, rededicate themselves to God, because maybe a lot of them aren't even saved. Maybe a lot of them are not even saved, truly saved. And I'm not saying they were deceiving people on purpose or trying to be evil. I'm not saying that. You know, they have religious experience. A lot of people have religious experiences. Listen, let me tell you something, friend. What would be the greatest thing Satan could do to keep you from really getting saved? To give you a religious experience, make you think you got saved when you didn't get saved. Oh, I wept and I cried when I finally get my head cut off. I went here for that. Oh, Jesus, save me, Lord. And I felt God just come down and save me. You know, and maybe they got saved, maybe they didn't. I don't know. Who can judge that but God? But the thing is that promotion of that stuff. Some people really got saved, some people really didn't get saved. They got promoted by fear to the gospel. So, yeah, so. All right, I'm prophesying a little bit tonight. I did not plan on doing this, honest to God. I did not plan on doing this at all. Very, very interesting. Let me just keep going here a little bit more and make sure that I'm not going to miss anything. All right. God is not going, not trying to take down America. He is positioning the world global government. I wrote this down. This is something I wrote down. God is not trying to take down America. People are accusing him of. He is positioning the world global government and religious system to become one. As long as America or whoever is number one, it can't happen. Yeah. So that's what's going on with all that. Okay, so we are prophesying tonight and speaking to you about things. I think you're really going to enjoy the message about sex I have, because it really explains to you the beauty of it and the bondage of it and why God gave it to us and why we need to be careful that we don't mess that up. All right? Yeah. Okay, I think that's about it for tonight. I think that's it. Don't forget, now it shall come to pass, Deuteronomy 28:1, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to obey carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Talking about the church, talking about Israel, but also you can take that for the church too, because when the church obeys the Lord, and second. Obeys, you know, the voice of the Lord. What happens? We don't lose. The church is supposed to rule the earth. You know, that's what's going to happen when Christ comes. Is that through Christ, that God, the religious system of God, which is Jesus, if you want to call it a religious system, it's of Christ, is going to rule the world. And so right now, what's ruling the world? Governments, political people. That's totally out of align with what God wants. So that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get it back in alignment to where the church, that's why he's judging the church right now with the financial realm, the money realm, because it is about getting those things right so that we can rule, so that we close every door to the devil. People fight this merchandise thing so bad, and they don't realize. One of these days they're going to wake up and realize, oh, my God, that's the very thing that let the devil in on so many things in my life, in my church, in my family, in my ministry, and all that. Yep, exactly. The love of money. It opened up the door to the love of money. And that's the root of all kinds of evil. Okay, so if you carefully obey all his commands, which I command you, I will set you high above all the nations of the earth. This is God's will for the church, for Israel and the church together, to rule and reign when Christ comes back, where the church and Israel are going to rule the earth with them. With the Lord Jesus, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. And because you obey the voice of the Lord your God, and because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And so, and then it goes on down, it says, below that, it says, and if you disobey the voice of the Lord your God, all these curses will come on you, right? I'm kind of repeating some things tonight, but I want you to hear this stuff. All right. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commands and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come on you and overtake you. Curses shall you be in the city. Curses shall you be in the country. Randy, how can you talk like that? Because it's the Bible. And it's the balance of the scales of blessings and cursings that God allows to happen, you know. And so when we don't obey God, the curse of God comes on us. What is it? That's the withdrawal of his blessings, the withdrawal of your provision, the withdrawal of your breakthroughs. So if we don't have that balance of, if you don't obey the Lord, well, if you don't obey the Lord, well, he's going to be nice to you. He's going to be merciful. Oh, sweet Jesus. He's just so nice. No, that's really not. Because he can't bless a cursed thing. He can't bless the things that you and I are doing outside the will of God. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. That's the example that we have with him. I only do what I see my Father do. The reason he was so blessed, he was able to rise up in power eventually over all people, over all, you know, everything, rose from the dead. It's because he did everything. He obeyed the Lord and everything. Friend, this is it. And so we need to preach the balance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right? All right, let's take callers, and let's see what's going on tonight. Thank you for being with us. We are here to pray for you, believe God with you. Sorry for the no-show. I was checking in, you know, guys, says, you have a show in 23 hours, and sometimes I go, oh, my gosh. I don't even know how that happened. It had to be my fault. I'm sure it was. So I just fixed it as quick as I could. So thank you guys for being patient. Sometimes when that happens, that's just what it is. All right, so let's take callers tonight. I got 325, first in line, 720, second in line, 863, 268, third, second in line, didn't you? Good job. All right, 972, 695 after that, 754, 240 after that, 709, 750 after that, 803-991 after that, 612-805 after that, 734-692 after that, 954-580 after that, 903-808 after that, 312-841 after that, 769-220 after that, 503-318 after that, 478 after that, 720-682 after that. And the rest of you don't have your hand up. All right. The rest of you don't have your hand up. Okay. All right. Let's go here and take callers tonight. All right. 5280, who am I talking to? And where are you from, please?
Chris from Texas.
Chris? Yeah, Chris had a cool testimony. He sent me a picture of a check he got. You know, I don't have exact timing on it, but maybe he could remind me on that. But a few months ago, I gave him a word. I was praying over him one night, and I saw black oil. I saw black oil, and I said, I see black oil. And the reason I made sure I said black oil, because it could have been golden oil like from out of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you know. But I said, it's black oil. And I don't remember what I said about it. I said, it's just like oil out of the ground. And so what happened was that day or the day before, Chris had told me that some guy had just approached him about, you know, about investing in oil. He said, Randy, it just was, you know, that's what happened. I went, wow, that's amazing. So he didn't play around. He jumped on it, man. He didn't sit there and go, hey, I don't know. He jumped on it as God gave him the grace. And he got his first fruits that I know of, last week, I think. A little over $7,000, his first check. So, you know, thank God for people who, like most of our PGN family, they hear from God and they just obey God. They do what the Lord says. And faith without works is dead. But faith with works creates results. So let's just believe God for Chris to be really, really blessed, find that favor of wealth and blessing and increase. And so we thank you, Jesus, for Chris tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for that wonderful testimony, that amazing testimony that just happened, I think, just a few days ago, and maybe last week, I can't remember. But thank you, Lord, for that. We just give you the glory for that, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for Chris's faith. Thank you, Lord, that he's a man who puts his faith into action. And because of that, people are going to follow you, brother. They're going to say, how did you do that? You're going to say, well, I heard from God, and I just did it. You're going to make it sound like it's so simple. They're going to like, it's just that simple, huh? Well, that's just the way it worked for me. I just, you know, the Lord spoke and, you know, sought his face about it, and I just did it, and there it happened. And so, and you're going to train people. You're going to train people someday on how to hear the voice of God and step out in faith. I know some very wealthy, you know, businessmen who were always getting blessed with property and land, and you know, and you hear them give their testimonies, man. They start teaching people how to, Christians, even preachers, how to step out of faith. When we see somebody who steps out of faith and does what God says, you know, and the results come with it, it stirs your curiosity. Curiosity is going to start being stirred, and people are going to seek you out, like, you know, how did you do that? How did you do that? And you're going to teach them. You're going to show them. You're going to share with them. It's going to be simple. It's going to be easy. It's not going to be some big complicated thing. Then God's going to reward you for that. Then you're going to enter into another realm of rewards for helping other people find that place with God and find that reward system, that treasure system for Jesus. Amen. Because he paid for that, all that on the cross. Amen. When that blood came out, he paid for every bit of provision, abundant provision. All the earth was being redeemed through Jesus' body and through his blood. The whole earth is being redeemed. I thank you, Lord, that you called Chris to understand that the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross, and he was redeeming the earth back to God. And I'm going to partake of it. I'm going to be partners with Jesus in taking back the earth for God. Amen. All right, 720-819. Who am I talking to, referring, please?
Jeff and Yuki.
Hey, Jeff and Yuki. All right. Thank you, Lord, for that. Jeff and Yuke, and thank you, Jesus, for, you know, I see this whole thing of health, health and wealth. Like, I want to say health and wealth, or wealth and health. The people are going to start valuing and treasuring health, not just physical health, but a lot of it's physical health. Because you know what? When your physical body starts dying, because you didn't eat, you ate poisons all your life, and then all one day you couldn't figure out why you got this cancer over your body and blah, 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 blah. You know, the doctors don't tell people because they don't really know. And thank you, Jesus, that God, you're teaching you how to promote things. God's going to use, there's that promotion thing, how to promote stuff, how to promote things, how to get people's attention, how to get their interest, how to get them to be interested in what you're doing and what God's giving you. Amen. Like a promotional thing, promotion. And promotion comes from the Lord. So when you promote, you know, usually we look at promotion comes from the Lord, meaning that, you know, you got a raise or you got from vice president to president of the company or something. But promotion comes from the Lord is also, you know, when we learn how to promote things the way God gives it to us, you know, that comes from the Lord. So promotion of all forms or all shapes comes from the Lord. God's going to show you how to promote things with language, with thoughts, with pictures and that kind of thing. Yeah, to get people's attention, to get them to look at. See, that, the thing about when Moses turned to the bush, because God got his attention, he had a burning bush. Moses was extremely busy. He was really at it. And what did God show up in? A burning bush. He's just like, man, that's an unusual sight. He turned around and looked at it and go, wow. You know, what is that? Yeah, and to be able to get people's attention to, you know, try your products, try your what you're doing, your business, promotions, that kind of thing. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, here we go. All right, and then Jeff, God, we thank you, Lord, for Jeff. Yeah, Jeff and you are going, yes, promotion from the Lord, yes. Yeah, and promotion, you know, we never give up, we never stop. You know, I've made many mistakes, and because I learned from them, you know, it's made me feel secure moving forward in my future because I've learned from them. I didn't blame everybody. I didn't blame the devil. Oh, the devil this, the devil that. Oh, my gosh, you know. How could the devil do that to me? And we'll start saying, you know, the devil didn't do that to you. I think like Jeff was talking the other night about, you know, warfare. Are some things warfare or some things just you're just messing up? Or are some things the curse of God from disobedience? Yeah, it is. And that's sometimes that's the warfare that we're going through. God's withdrawal of his blessings. And that's when that's withdrawn, it is a curse. Really, and that's what the curse is, withdrawal of God's blessings in when you go in and go out and all that. So so being able to understand that, thank you, Jesus, for Jeff, God, to raise up a standard, rise up a standard that other people can look at, other people can partake of, other people can go, yeah, that does come from the Lord. So promotion does come from the Lord. And as God promotes, he promotes you because you didn't give up. You didn't quit. You learned from your mistake. You didn't blame the devil on everything and all the devil, all these people, and so does it mean that sometimes people get messed stuff up? Yeah, they can mess stuff up. But, if we're listening to the Lord, we learn to listen to the Lord, learn not to put people in certain positions. We keep them in positions that they can't mess up too bad, right? So keep them. We're not going to have always hire perfect people and all that. That's never really going to happen, except unless you hire one person, unless your wife or something, or your husband. And then it may not be all that wonderful all the time. That promotion. And when God sees that you learn from your mistakes, that you learn from the things that have, not been perfect, then you come out of the gate, with that knowledge of, okay, man, we got it, man. I got my weapons of warfare. I know what to blame the devil on and what not to blame the devil on. I know what to take accountability for. I know, what to do. And God's going to give you a real balance on how to deal with situations with people, what to let in, what to not let in. We're never going to have perfect people around us, but God will show you how to keep them at certain lengths away from, too much control. And, and I see you getting a new pair of glasses, like God giving you glasses to really focus in, mirrored glasses. I don't know what mirrored glasses is, but mirrored glasses. I don't know what that is. I don't know what mirrored glasses are. Mirrored, like a mirror. Yeah, mirrored glasses. Interesting. I don't know what that is. But thank you, Jesus, for that and for insights into Jeff's own life. He can see within himself through the mirror, look into the mirror of the Word of God within himself, and also be able to look into other situations and with the mirror of the Word of God. So there you go. And be able to judge things properly. And we're not going to ever be totally free of battles, ever. But we can lessen them a lot more. Number one, by learning just everyday life, learning from everyday life. And taking accountability for things. And then, and then God goes, okay, I can trust you with things. And because God knows that everything we do is not perfect, that everything we do is, he knows we're growing, he knows we're learning, he knows that. And believe me, he's the best teacher in the world. And you guys are going to find, you're going to find, Jeff, the Holy Spirit be the best teacher in the world. He leads and guides into all truth, all truth. Amen. Okay, let's go here to 863-268. Can I talk to you, friend, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Charles and Nikki.
Hey, Florida. Y'all. Yes, I guess you were from Florida. Yes, I. All right, Charles and Nikki, thank you, Jesus, Father, for eating the good of the land. I see you, if you've heard me talk about it, maybe you heard other people talk about it, when Israel moved with their new young people, their 20-year-olds and up, when they moved into the promised land, when they crossed over the Jordan, they moved in to the place, and they never had manna again. The manna realm ended. Some people have glorified the manna realm. Whatever, I don't know what that was like, but because Jesus said, I am the manna, and all. So it's a beautiful thing. But as soon as they stepped into the promised land, here's what I saw. I saw you guys eating corn. I saw you guys eating corn. I said, God, what's that? And he says, you know what that is. They're stepping across and passing over, and they're going to start eating from a whole different source, a whole different platform, they're going to start eating the corn of the land. In other words, of the promises of God, of the promised land, eating from the corn of the land. No longer are you going to have to depend on this, you know, supernatural, you know, thing. You know, we still walk in the supernatural because they when they did Jericho, that was a supernatural move of God. I mean, there was nothing more supernatural than that. So it's not like the supernatural out there. But as far as your daily food, your provisions being made, that God's going to bring that in a very natural form, if you will, where it's not something you have to always pray and believe in for and fighting for and believing, oh, I got to have a miracle, I got a miracle, I got a miracle. You know, when you eat of the corn of the land, when they start eating the corn of the land, they just ate of the corn of the land. They didn't have to wait on manna every day, and even though God was providing it, it was a whole different realm. Thank you, Lord, for that, for Charles and Nikki, for Nikki. And God, for showing them that. They're eating the corn of the land. In Jesus' name. And I see you eating, like, blue corn, too. That was what's kind of weird about it. I saw you eating blue corn. Usually corn is yellow. That's pretty beautiful. But blue corn is like, you know, the glory, the heavenly corn, heavenly food, heavenly, you know, heavenly provision. Amen. The year of treasures. So thank you, Lord, for that. And so, Charles, God, for making the man in him, God, be satisfied as being a provider, that you give him great satisfaction, because every man is called to be a provider one way or the other, whether it's by faith or whatever it is. And I thank you, Lord, you're going to satisfy him greatly with the fruit of the land, God, that is going to bring provision for him, for his family, in Jesus' name, and learn how to live from the rewards that the Lord brings. Because when the Lord brings rewards from our labors, it's always in the realm of provision for what he's called us to do. He's not going to reward you with something you're not called to do. He always rewards you in the earth realm from your obedience with God with things that that are for your purpose in life. Yeah, he doesn't just kind of throw some things out there. It's for that. So I thank you, Lord, for bringing great satisfaction so he would feel as a man like he's fully providing, fully bringing in as a man is made to do, the provision of the Lord. So there's a lot about provision with both of you guys on that tonight. So I don't know if that's about exactly, but cool. All right, good to have you. 972-695, you have a talk to me before you come, please.
Hey, Randy, it's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, Terrence and Tanisha. All right, thank you. Good to be with you guys tonight. I see a soberness coming on, a real soberness, like a soberness. You know, I don't know what soberness means. You know, like there's a somber thing going on. God is sobering people up. He's sobering people up from their drunken state, not physical drinking, but from their drunken state of, you know, we can do whatever we want. They're just drunk with it. You know, the Bible talks about those that were drunk with the wine of the whore. They were drunk with the wine of it and the lust and all things. And I see a real sobering up. That's what I saw. It's the first thing I saw. Like a real sobering up going on. That has to do with people around you. You know, just a sobering up. People sober up. You know, our children need to sober up sometimes. Not because they're drinkers, but because they live in this world of, you know, fantasy land sometimes. And God has to start showing them how to live, you know, a sober life. Like that Bible talks about, the scripture talks about sober faith. Don't live beyond your faith level, but live become sober in your faith. In other words, don't be drunk with, you know, all this, I can do all this stuff. And if God's calling you to do it, of course you can. But if God's not calling you to do it yet, then it tends to, you know, create disappointments and all that kind of thing. So I see you guys really just walking in a, people sobering up around you, people that think they can do whatever they want to, whenever they want to. They're going to be sobered up by some activity. Yeah, in Jesus' name. So, amen. Thank you, Lord, for a Terrence Gallery. Thank you, Lord, for I see you drinking a cup. I see you drinking from a new cup. Drinking from a new cup from the springing up of the cup, from the cup of the spring up cup, the spring up cup, the spring up cup, coming up my cup, the blessing of the Lord. bringing me in one accord. Flowing up cup. Yeah. So I just see you drinking from a new cup, and I think it has to do with your, you know, many years I had a dream about President Obama, and I think you guys probably heard me talk about it, but he was, and in the dream, we were in a political meeting, we were standing there, and he's just standing there, you know, talking, and I'm listening, and I didn't really know what he was saying, but he didn't really say anything to me, but he handed me his bottle. He had a long-neck beer bottle. And he wasn't drunk, and had nothing about being drinking or anything, but it was. He handed me his bottle, and on the bottle it said, no do-overs. And I said, Lord, what does that mean? So I looked up the you know, like containers and cups and bottles and what we drink from. And it has to do with his purpose. That was his purpose, is to do things so there'd be no do-overs. And he did pretty good at it. And then now Biden's finishing that up. But it's like a calling. It's like a new cup, a new calling, a new learning to drink from a new cup, and the new purpose. Like I say, I guess new purpose, maybe stepping into the purpose, Jesus' name, and drinking from the cup of the Lord. You know, a sacred cup and yet an everyday cup. It's like it's everydayish, but it's sacred at the same time. I'm not sure what that means exactly, but that I think your everyday life is going to become sacred with God, you know, leading you, guiding you, drinking from his cup, drinking from the fountains of his provision. Yeah. All right. 754-240. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. This is Donald and Tanya from Miami.
All right. Donald and Tanya. Good to have you guys. Donald and Tanya, Donald's latest testimony. So cool. He shared with me, a few weeks ago, that on January the 4th, that I gave him a word that they were not going to be able to move forward in their life with provision from the paycheck from some company, but they were going to have their own sources. And so, he says, "Well, surprise, surprise!" 2 weeks later, my job called me and said, "We like you. You know, if we get another job, we'll let you know about it. But we got to let you go." And there he was, like, without a paycheck from a company. You know, it's like, wow, Jesus, you are so amazing how you helped us go through things. But I think that, you know, stuff like that going on with God's people, because we're stepping into the year of treasures. And I thought, I don't know if you were able to hear, but I've talked about that last night, how that happened in the very first few days of 2022, which I'm God has spoken to me as a year of treasures. So you guys are going to reap treasures, man. Rewards, you've been doing your best to obey God in every way you can. You've hung in there. You've been tough. You've had some disappointments. You have all kinds of different things. You just didn't give up. And because you didn't give up, God's going to reward you with much. He's going to reward you with blessings. He's going to reward you. I see you with a towel, or like Jesus had a towel wrapped around himself, washing the disciples' feet. I see you, like, you know, washing people's feet, serving, you know, and when you enter into that serving realm, you end up, you know, being the greatest, right? You enter into the greatest realm. You enter to what is called being great. For he who serves is the greatest. And so I see this this towel wrapped around you, beautiful white towel. It's like very cool, very clean, very pure, and it's like the Lord's teaching how to serve him, how to serve people, how to serve God, how to serve whoever, your family, you know, just how to serve in general at a whole other level and entering into the greatness of God's provision for that. Amen. All right. And for Tanya tonight, Lord, we pray for Tanya. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for warming her heart, God, for the flame of the Holy Spirit rising up and flickering across her spirit, man, you know, quickening her, you know, bringing her supernatural provision emotionally and mentally, and that so that she can, it's like I see you learning how to partake of the food of the Lamb of God for your emotions, for your, you know, for your will, for your thoughts, you know, learning how to eat the food that nurtures your your mind, will, and emotions in, with supernatural power. In other words, it's kind of like, you know, we all, when we feed off things that we don't even realize we're feeding off of, but we think certain thoughts, and then we go places after that. You know, sometimes not so good places emotionally. We struggle, we have anxiety, that kind of thing. So I see you learning, God showing you how to eat the food from heaven, heavenly food, godly food, to where your emotions, your mind, your will, and your thoughts become settled and become strong, become nurtured. It's like I tell people all the time, one of the things I've learned to do, Tanya, is to feed my brain. I feed my brain. Every day I have avocados, one avocado, and plus other things I have that feed my brain. I focus on feeding my brain. If I don't feed my brain, I can't think as clear. You know, I don't minister as well. So you find out that your physical brain is very, very important to functioning in life at a higher level. So I see you, God tweaking you, helping you to live at a higher level, not only in the natural food realm, to make sure you're feeding your body so you can, so it can be strong, so you're not starving it without even knowing it, and feed it correctly, and so and get, make it a habit, make it a pattern in your life, and then you're going to find yourself having a lot less stress, a lot less, you know, a lot less things going on, a lot less up and downs, and yeah, so and much less just eating the spiritual food that's going to you know, cause you to walk strong emotionally and mentally, you know, from the spiritual perspective. But the natural and the spiritual are extremely important. You can have spiritual good food to eat, and you're not feeding your natural brain, your natural, you know, realm. It's still going to be messed up. They need to be done together. God's going to show you more and more how to do that. You already do it, I'm sure, but you show you more and more how to do it. All right. Let's take a next caller here, 603-991. 803-991. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela. All right. Thank you, Lord. I just keep seeing, I don't know if I've said this to you before, I keep seeing a crown. Like when I hear you, I hear God crowning you. Crowning you with honor, crowning you with, you know, of course we're going to cast our crowns down before the Lord, right? But he gives us a crown, Angela, because it gives us, even though we don't, people can't see the crown, but God crowns us so that the spiritual realm knows who we are, right? And put it on the full armor of God. You know, nobody can see it, but it's there. And the devil goes, oh, they got their full armor on. It can be hard to hit them. Just the crown that I keep seeing is has to do with, you know, the devil recognizing, you know, in other words, you know, they're going to respect you more. They respected Jesus highly, right? Why? Because he wore the crown of the Son of God and of an obedient son. He wore that crown of obedience. So everywhere he went, you know, not everywhere he went, but the demons would come out of places and just cry out, Jesus, why don't you come to torment us? They highly respected him. They highly respected him. Amen. And they were going like, what are you going to do with us? And he hadn't even talked to him yet. He hadn't done anything with him yet. And maybe he hadn't even thought about it. I don't know. But they saw that crown, if you will, on his head, that he had authority to deal with them. And so I see God really showing you how, you know, that crown that God gives you. Yes, and someday when our work is done, we will cast that crown down at the Lord Jesus. But until then, we wear it with, you know, like when the Queen of England shows up with a crown on, you know, everybody goes, oh, that's the Queen. They bow down and whatever they do. So it's important that God shows you how to, because it has to do with your head knowledge, the knowledge you have in your head, knowledge you have in your, you know, in your learning, you know, crown being crowned. With you know, the knowledge of the Lord, the mind of Christ, so the way you think and all that, it's a really big thing. All right, girl, good to have you. All right, let's go here to 905-612-905-805-805.
Hi, Randy. This is Joyce from Minnesota.
Oh, hi, Joyce. All right, that's from Minnesota.
Bless you.
We just love Joyce. We just love Joyce from Minnesota. We thank you, Lord, for the love and the purity of your heart, girl. You have such a pure heart, and you have such a desire to serve and to do the will of God. That the enemy really tries to mess with you and tell you you're not worthy. I should tell you all this nonsense. He's just a liar. He's a liar from hell. And God's going to really start showing you all the things that just kind of sneak up into your brain out of nowhere. Maybe that you're used to thinking where you were, like with me, I talk about condemnation all the time, how God starts showing me what I thought was conviction of the Holy Spirit was condemnation. That was a big revelation to me, man, because I would have thought, man, that's not Holy Ghost, you know. The whole time it was, you know, condemnation trying to, you know, convict me, and it's, you know, bring me down, maybe come up short. So the Lord says, coming up short, days of coming up short are over, and that God sees the purity of your heart. He sees your love for Him. He sees your dedication to Him. He sees your simple life, your simple love for Him, and He's going to reward you with that, with great family and great blessings. Great family and great blessings. And so, yeah, I see a light shining around your head, like a new light coming to you. Maybe that has to do with what I just shared about thoughts that come to you that maybe you're just used to thinking them, but they're there to condemn you. They're there to make you feel like you're not good enough, you're not spiritual enough, you're not doing enough of this and enough of that. God's going to bring you out of that realm of under the law, like He's been doing me, thank God. I got to pray for several hours every day. I got to do all this stuff out there, and you know, and so we get legalistic about our relationship with Jesus, and so we end up doing everything, even though we spend hours in prayer, we're doing it out of legalism. So it does, we might as well not be praying at all, right? And literally, so I see God really showing you that, and your mind being lit up with revelation about that. Amen. You're going to see you thinking in a whole different light about yourself. Yeah. I mean, I know you already think good about yourself as a person in Christ, but I see the Lord really bring you to a whole other level of that. Things that have been hidden, things that have just been normal so far, God's going to show you that it's not normal. It's not Him. You know, it's the devil trying to keep you back from entering into the full inheritance God has for you. You got an inheritance coming from God, an inheritance coming, and God's going to bless you with it. All right. All right, 734-692. Who am I talking to you, friend, please?
Jennifer from Michigan.
Who?
Jennifer from Michigan.
Oh, hi, Jennifer. Yes. Hi, Jennifer. Yes, Jennifer, good to have you. Thank you, Lord, for education, for Holy Ghost education. Father, for the mind of Christ. I keep hearing something about the gates of your mind. The gates of your mind, you know, what kind of gates do you have in your mind? What kind of doors do you have in your mind? Some areas you probably replaced, God has probably replaced the doors and given you new doors. Some areas that, you know, we have a lot of, we're kind of like a big mansion. We have many dwelling places. We have many rooms in our mind, many dwelling places. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are like a big mansion. There's so many dwelling places. So many dwelling places that we live in. And so I see God just do something with the gates, the things where we let things in, you know, and let things out, you know, that God's, you know, like the gates of glory, like lifting up your heads, oh, you gates, and let the King of Glory come in, you know, kind of like that, like the gates, like God opening up new gates for you for the glory of Jesus and your relationship with Him. To be made more real all the time, like new gates of glory, so to speak. Right, replacing the, you know, whether it's just like a common basic relationship to the glory of God. You know, lift up those gates, your everlasting doors, and let the Prince of the King of Glory come in. And that's one of the scriptures I kept thinking about when I thought about you with that tonight. And God doing a new work with you and what you let in and being able to let God in at new levels and new ways and let Him in deeper and broader and higher and more of a depth. you know, all the time. God's showing you how to do all that. You're just not going high. You're going deep. You're going wide. Amen? Yeah, you're going through the whole thing, the height, the width, the length, the depth of the love of Christ. And God giving you gates, God, like God putting in new gates in your mind, being able to open them up to the glory of God. All right, 903-808. I'm going to talk to you, Reverend, please.
Hi, this is Jeannie in Texas.
All right, Jeannie. Jeannie's one of our hosts on every Monday night. Her and Hollis have been working their little tail ends off. And just, Jeannie gets out there, puts up fence. I don't know, remember what else she said they're doing, but man, they're like working hard. And plus they're remodeling their house, the old house. Like you said, at the same time. So y'all pray for her. Hopefully she'll be totally recovered. Plus she got hit with COVID. So like, oh my gosh, you know, thank God for these Texas girls and the guys are tough. She's one tough cookie. But pray for her. She'll be able to be back on PGN as soon as she can. And have a miss her and all that. So thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, God, that I see you drawing in with the Lord. It's like I see you like caught up in the clouds or something, caught up in the clouds. You're like caught up in the clouds and you're looking down from the clouds, from the sky. Yeah, I don't know what that means exactly, except God's putting you into a higher position so you can see things differently, see things more broad, more the width, the height, you know, of things. I see God like is really repositioning you spiritually to be able to see things. The seer in you is really going to arise like never before. The seer in you is going to rise up and be caught up with God. I don't know if that's everyday stuff or once in a while or all the time or something. He's just positioning you. Like we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, right? He's seating you. And he's positioning you. And, so to be able to look, you know, like an eagle flies, right? He spreads his wings and he flies. He sees things. He can see little bitty things, that he, you know, like food, like a little rat running down there, mice. And he can see everything broad, wide, far. And I see that part of you, that gifting you. I don't know whether there's just going to be I don't know what this means exactly, but it's going to be somebody in the family's going to die or something, and that gift is going to get passed on to you because you've made yourself available. Not that people have to die. Like Elijah, when Elijah went to be with the Lord, that the double mantle came on Elisha. I don't know. I don't understand exactly what that is, but I see God imparting that to you. And maybe that's the whole thing about the position I'm seeing with you. I don't know what that is, but really cool. All right. Awesome. Wow. That was really cool and unusual. All right, Jeannie, thank you. All right, 312-841. Who I talk to you from, please?
Hey, this is Marja from Illinois.
Hi, Marja. Thank you, Marja, for letting me know. I did have a show tonight. I'm so thankful. People are texting me saying, do you have a show tonight? And thank you for caring, Marja. Thank you for your love. You have such a great love. And I just, Lord, I just thank you for not only unlocking love inside of her, the love of God, not just her own love, but your love. As she gives her love to you, as she dedicates her love to you, Father. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, all thy understanding. And, and thy neighbor as thyself. And so, when you do that, you God gives you his love, right? Because we give all of our love to him, he gives all of his love to us. And I really see you walking in that love realm, girl. I see you walking in the love realm where, God just not opening his love to you, but being able to give it and express it to someone or some people or whatever, to be able to express the love and express your concern for them, express your passion where it has a place to reach out to, a place to, you know, grab hold of. And so, yeah. So thank you, Jesus. What good is love if you don't have a place to give it out, right? It's nice. It's wonderful. I had love for a long time from Jesus that I didn't know what to do with it, right? But and I still felt it. It was still awesome. But when he started giving me places to give it out or just telling me to preach in the streets, basically, which is what I did without even knowing what I was doing, that I was able to give that love out. And the more I gave it out, the more powerful it became. So God's showing you, it's like it's, the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In other words, they obtain mercy, or they get mercy, because they give it. Blessed are those who love, because they shall get more love. So that love expands in them. And I see God showing you, it's in giving that love away that increases it and multiplies it. So Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for giving her the outlets and the people and the things, the ways to give that love and to share her care for people, her thoughts for people, and for God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 769-220, who may I talk to you from, please?
This is Andrika in Georgia.
Hi, Andrika. Thank you, Jesus, for Andrika. Father, thank you for, I see you connecting into a higher level of power. Like we have 110 and we have 220. I know our dryers usually, our dryers that dry our clothes are usually 220. I've had 220 hit me before. I've got my hand, hit touching the, I was trying to plug it in. I forgot what I was trying to do, but my finger somehow was touching something, and boy, it knocked me back fast. But so I see you getting a new source of power, a new source, maybe a new source of revenue. I don't know if that's money, what that is, but a new source of power, new source of being able to, because like 220 for a, you can't run a dryer that's made for 220, but the 110, right? It just doesn't work. So when you move up to the 220 round, things just don't work anymore with 110. They start working with 220. And so God helping you make the transfer of wealth, the transfer of thinking, the transfer of the whole thing of this new power. Like 110 is a completely different thing than 220. Like I said, you have to be more careful of it, even though 110, it's all can be dangerous, but 220 can, just like I said, it can just knock me back. And boom, it's just, if that would have got a hold of me, it probably would have killed me. I don't know. But but it's when it's, properly, appropriated to, like a dryer and the cord and all that kind of thing, then it's there to function and carry a bigger load, to be able to do more, be empowered to do more, you can take on more, do more, in Jesus' name. So open that up, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. Let it be done right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. All right. 503-318.
Hello, Randy. This is Robin from Oregon.
Oh, hi, Robin. Yes, Robin. Hello. I was thinking about you today. It's really, really cool. Just thinking about you today. Yeah. And praying for you. Or today? I think it was yesterday, actually. Thinking about you, praying for you, asking God to redefine your life with purpose as you've never known before, and redefining your life with purpose. I shared a testimony tonight about Dom and Tanya. They've been with us for several years, and he called in on January the 4th. I gave him a word. I said, I see you not being under anybody else's salary. You're not going to be able to go where you need to go with being under somebody else's salary, and and you're going to have your own resources, that kind of thing. And then, all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, he called me up and he said, Randy, I got a testimony. Guess what? After you give me that word, they let me go. And so it ushered him in. He got excited. He said, I can't believe I'm not an excitable person unless it's something really good. He said, people are telling me, how are you doing that? You're not even moved by that. It's because God was making a way. God was opening up something new. God was repositioning him, and he was ready for it. They've been praying about it for a long time, and all of a sudden the word of the Lord came, you know. And when the night he called me up and told me that, I said, "Well, dude, let me tell you this." I said, "I forgot, you know, I didn't really ever tell you this part, but I said I was giving you that word about having your own resources and not living under somebody else's salary. I said, I just saw you not doing that on your own, not quitting on your own." And he kind of like went, "Oh, can you say that again?" or something. I remember exactly what went. Because it shocked him, because he just told his wife, you know, that day that he would have never quit on his own, right? In other words, you know, like, because he's a responsible, you know, man of God. Unless God told him to, then he would have done it. But it was just amazing. And so I see this thing, I see something like that going on with you where, you know, just a transition and God quickening you, without any effort. It's like, because he knows your heart, he knows your love for him, he knows the glory of God that's in you and your expectation for being blessed and living for God and not being, you know, having the life sucked out of you by situations and circumstances that are unnecessary. And so sometimes God shakes things loose for a season so that we can learn to function at a whole other level, a whole other way, a whole other place. And thank you, Jesus, for Robin, God. I thank you for her love for you, God. I thank you for her worshiping heart, for her prophetic spirit, God, for her care for you, Jesus, for care for your people, for her family. And God, we ask you to bring her whole family, God, to a whole new place in Jesus' name because it's now time. It is now time. Before it wasn't time, now it's time. All right. All right, 479-223. Can I talk to you, Reverend, please? 479-223-233. All right, 478-223, are you there? 233. Okay, let's pray for 478-233. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, I thank you tonight for my caller. But I thank you, Jesus, that you are winding down on things, winding down, and causing those things wind down. God is winding down things. You know, so it's like things are coming to a close. Like when Jesus on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, so they know what to do." And he yielded up his spirit and said, "Into thy hands, I commit my spirit." And it is finished. It is done. And so I see some things being completed, being finished, being done. And so once that happens, and God's in the process of that, it allows you to move on. It allows you to move forward. It allows you to have a new life. It allows you to have a new beginning. And so I see a new beginning going on with you in Jesus' name. And I see your heart being warmed with God's love and friendship, knowing that he's been watching over you all this time. And maybe just didn't reveal it too much, but he's going to reveal it to you. All right. 720-682.
What up? It's Mike and Veronica.
Hey, y'all. Good to have you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. I just see a new mantle being wrapped around the both of you. I see a new mantle, like this new mantle is a covering of protection. And the protection is to keep the enemy from being able to rob you, to steal from you, be able to counteract your activities that you do in him. Like I see you being, like you beating the devil to the punch on timing. You know, the job is done before he can mess it up, or the thing is finished before he can, you know, the thing's on the road before he can try to stop it. And this mantle, this new mantle, I see it wrapped around both of you. It's kind of a big thing. And, so thank you, Jesus, for his banner over me is love. God, and I thank you for the love of God binding Mike and Veronica together in a new, beautiful way, Jesus, so that they can walk in love and forgiveness. They can learn, they're going to teach the body of Christ how to forgive, how to bless, how to forgive each other, how to forgive one another, how to forgive people that are evil, how to forgive, you know, really evil people. And because all those things hinder us from walking in our purpose, God, and that's why Jesus said to bless those who curse you and do good to those who despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you. Because what it does, it hinders you. It stops you from moving forward. It stops you from doing the will of God. And many people get stopped. I've been stopped for seasons, slowed down big time because of unforgiveness. I've done it. My thing had to do with money, with the ministry thing. And, you know, it was crazy. And so so all those things, you know, God's showing you how to, that mantle is going to be like protection. You know, like warning you, telling you this is not good, that's good, and bringing protection to so you don't step into something that looks really good, but it's not. God really pricking you, watching over, jealous over you, to bless you, and yeah, I see like you're down at the bottom of a mountain, like a big cliff or something, like. I don't know, like a big cliff, big mountain ridge up above you. I don't know if that is. It could be the mountains in Colorado. I'm not sure what that is. But I see a God establishing a new throne, a new place, a new outlet for worship, a new place for God's glory. Amen. All right. 225-454, who may I talk to you from, please?
Hi, this is Karen from Louisiana.
Hi, Sharon.
Hello.
Good to have you, Sharon. Thank you, Lord, for sharing, Father. The kindness of God coming towards you. You know, we know God is kind always. He's never unkind. But sometimes when he chastises us or deals with us or tries to get us to trying to show us a new way, we get caught up in tradition. We get caught up into, you know, connections with people where it's hard to break loose from people's, you know, those soul ties that we have. And so I see God breaking soul ties with people, with you and people. It doesn't mean that the relationship's going to be bad. It's just that the soul tie part is broken, where they have no control over you. They have no, you know, manipulation over you, any kind of any way to, you know, because they're connected to you spiritually. Yeah, you don't have to be around them. You can feel them spiritually because of that soul tie. And I see the Lord breaking the soul ties and setting you free from those things where you cannot be hindered or, you know, messed with in any fashion or form. You know, like God's setting you apart unto himself so that he can speak more clearly to you. And he's developing you into a person that can, you know, see things that God's doing. And with those soul tie hindrances, it's hard to see clear because the soul ties hinder us from being able to see clearly. And so, really interesting because I've dealt with soul ties a lot, and we all have them to a certain degree. Some folks' soul ties are good, some are not. And, yeah, so there you go. All right, 202-722, who am I talking to you from, please? At 202-722, who am I talking to and where are you from? Okay, I know that's Nicole from D.C., so let's pray for Nicole tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Nicole. Nicole does a teaching, kind of a different time. We've never had a Sunday afternoon show before, so I know some of you guys are not used to that, but if you get a chance to connect in, we will text you and let you know that she's out there. And it's kind of a new thing, a new time, a new time. It's like around noon Central Standard Time. And so we want to let you know about that. And the thing that she's doing is she's teaching on the end times, the mysteries of the end times, and how to understand the Book of Revelation. And it's really, really cool. I listened last week for the whole show, just about the whole show. And you know, there was so much information put out that, you know, and I'm pretty familiar with Revelation, but I wasn't familiar with a lot of that. It was really, really cool. So make sure to join in and jump in there and listen to that. Kind of get a different way to look at the Book of Revelation. As Nicole is a teacher and like really a professor. And so she approaches it as a professor does in the Holy Spirit. It's really beautiful, really nice. So join in there, be a part of that. So thank you for Nicole, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the newness, the new, that like I see you being drawn into new things, like the new. Like God's going to bring thought processes to you that are brand spanking new, that you've never put this and that together, and then all of a sudden you're connecting things. So your connector is connecting stuff. You know, it's one thing to have, you know, 10 different scriptures and 10 different understandings of things, but all of a sudden when they connect, then you've got something. It's kind of like a puzzle all of a sudden coming together, the connection of things. I see God really in your mind. I think you connect things in your mind a certain way. I see the Holy Spirit really connecting scripture, connecting things, giving you understanding that you never had before. You talked about things. You've read them. You've read other people's books about them. But as far as you personally understanding and connecting to those things, that's what happened to Peter when Jesus said, "Who do men say? Who do you say that I am?" He said, "Thou art the Christ." He said, "Well, you just heard that from the Father." You know, he connected things. He connected things Jesus said, all these different things. And all of a sudden he realized, oh, my gosh, you really are the Christ. And he got it from the Father. And so that was a connection. He connected, and it changed his life. And later on, even though he did fail, you know, after that, that revelation grew up in him, and connected him to God, and understanding the ways of God, the revelation of God. You know, like when it came to healing, I see God doing some healing things with you and using you in healing. Yeah. All right, 831-596. Can I talk to you, friend, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Noelle in California.
Oh, hey, Noelle.
Hey.
Noelle, good to have you. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Noelle, Father, you know, I see God cleaning up things around you, like people who have made a mess of things, or, you know, the enemy or whatever's done making a mess of things. I see God cleaning up a mess, and so that you can see clearly, you know, what's more clearly what's going on. It's like when something gets messed up, you know, messed up, you know, the mess is there, and it's just kind of stuff is slung everywhere, and you're going like, what happened? What'd that do? So when you get cleaned up, then you have a different perspective of it. And so I see God, Holy Spirit, just cleaning up some things that have, the enemy is trying to mess up with you, the kinfolk and just people, you know, the enemy using people to do it, mess up stuff where God is cleaning up the mess so that you don't feel unclean by what they've done. And so you don't feel dirty about what they've done. You don't feel affected by what they've done, but now God is cleaning it to where it's not just about cleaning you, it's about cleaning the thing, cleaning it up. And then you're going to get it. And your prayers are going to be more effective. So God's really going to open that up for you, and it's about being effective. To be able to see clearly, you know, when things are messed up. I know I go through sometimes and clean up my little area, my little room where I had my studio and stuff, and I cleaned up that little area. Boy, you just feel so different when you get it all cleaned up, you know. And sometimes it's just messes other people made that they didn't clean up. They just left the shop, left the studio without, you know, I guess they thought they'd just leave it up to me or something, or leave it up to the cleaning person. And so it would create such an atmosphere of a mess, a confusion. And once I went in and cleaned that up, it's just like, wow, you know, the air was cleared. The air was cleared. And so I see God clearing the air so that you can see clearly how to pray, see clearly how to make your moves, and very effective moves. Amen. Okay, let's go here. All right, 972-365. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Rhonda in Texas.
Hey, Rhonda. All right, Rhonda, good to have you. All right, Rhonda. Rhonda has really been a blessing, shared some things with me just recently. I really appreciate. Well, I thank you for Rhonda. I thank you, Lord, for the power and authority of God in her life, God, that you're going to reveal the rod in her hand. The rod and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so some ways that the rod and staff comfort you is that, you know, it's not like you whack yourself and go, oh, I feel comforted. It has to do with, you know, feeling protected. The rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And the fact that they, that, you know, it's a tool. It's a weapon, tool, and it's a weapon. And God is, you know, going to show you how to use the authority you have as a tool, as a weapon. It's not always a weapon. It's a tool. It's a tool to open up things. Sometimes it's a weapon to tear down things. And God's showing you the difference between, you know, like Moses' staff, Moses' rod. You know, sometimes he threw it down and it became a serpent. Sometimes he used it to, you know, hit the water and it turned to blood. It became something that whatever God wanted to do, that rod became something that he was very connected to. And I see God taking things in your spiritual life that you're very connected to that are, you know, like it's you, like you don't, you're not putting on somebody else's armor. You're putting on your armor. These are things that you know how to flow in, you know how to work in. And God really activating that rod, that staff, to comfort you and make you feel like, you know, this comforts me because it becomes a tool of blessing. It becomes a rod of authority to protect and keep me and make me feel safe and my family feel safe. And I thank you, Lord, for that. God showing you how to learn. You're learning how to use the rod and thy staff, how to comfort you. Because sometimes when the enemy comes against us, it's like very uncomforting, very discomforting to know that he just kind of like, you know, did whatever he wanted to do. It's like, well, how do I stop that? Thy rod and thy staff. Yeah, and the rod of authority in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. As a shepherd of your, as a shepherd, one of the shepherds of your household. All right, 111. Who am I talking to? Right from?
Hello,
Barbara from Texas.
Well, hi, Barbara. All right, Barbara. Thank you, Lord, for Barbara from Texas. Lord, I thank you for the maintenance, how to maintain. When you get a breakthrough, you maintain that breakthrough. When you get a financial blessing, you maintain it. When you get an emotional breakthrough, you maintain it. When other people get breakthroughs, how to maintain their blessings, where they keep them, they don't lose them. They learn to abide and dwell in the blessing of the Lord. And God's showing you how to maintain those things. You know, maintenance is a real big deal. If you keep up with things, very seldom do things break down. Very seldom do things get messed up. Because you're always maintaining them. You're always watching over them, and even though it may not be broken, you look at it and make sure it's got oil, you make sure it's got something, whatever it needs. And so, yeah. Hang on just a second. Hang on just a minute. Okay, let's go with that. Sorry, Barbara, I'll take a detour there. And, yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for the maintenance realm. You know, when you maintain things, when you teach people how to maintain their life, they don't always need a miracle. Some people, they need a miracle every day. Why? Because they don't maintain anything. They don't keep up with anything. They just always, they flop around, don't take care of stuff. And so, therefore, they're always needing a miracle because there's no maintenance in their life. They don't maintain things. They don't maintain their relationship with Jesus. They don't maintain their prayer life. You know, whatever. Keep their life clean. Learn how to get clean. Learn how to stay clean. And so they're always, you know, calling for, oh, I need a deliverance. We'll just start teaching people how to maintain they'll quit calling us quite as much because they'll learn how to maintain their life, learn how to maintain their purity, their fellowship with Jesus, their relationship with the Lord. They learn how to maintain that, and so that we don't get overworked with things that just for simple low maintenance, people are not taking, are not maintaining things well, taking care of business. So they're always needy all the time. And so we have a responsibility to teach them and show them how to maintain their life in Christ where they don't need a miracle every other day, right? They're walking with God, right? Miracles are cool. But if I'm doing stuff that, that creates me needing a miracle all the time, that's foolishness. So maintenance, there you go. All right. 47239, who am I talking to, from, please?
It's Stephanie from Illinois.
Hi, Stephanie. All right, Stephanie. I bless you, Stephanie, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the passion of Jesus inside you. And so that you, you know, maintaining the passion of Christ. You know, it's like when we have the passion of Christ and we think we're always passionate about everything else. No, we're passionate. We care about the things of God. We care about what's important to him. We care about what he treasures. We treasure what he treasures. That's what passion is. Passion isn't just being all thrilled with Jesus all the time. You know, that could be. So we got to understand what passion is. Passion is that we are passionate about what God's passionate about. Jesus was always passionate about what the Father was passionate about. He said, "I work because my Father works." By his passion, his desire was from the Father. So I thank you, Jesus, for that, and thank you, Lord, for echoing in her life, God, that the voice of God, where she was able to pick up the voice of God, and you're training her how to develop the voice of God, how to step out and practice it and see if that's really the voice of God. Don't be afraid to test things. Don't be afraid to – some of my family members call me a scientist because I try everything. I try to work everything out. So, how does this work? What does that work? And I'm not afraid to try. Not being afraid to try and make mistakes, not being afraid to try is how you discover new territory, new land, new it's how you grow with the Lord, really. And when you learn how to how to do that. So it's really, really important. So thank you, Jesus, for opening it up, and God, her faith, her love for you, Father, that you're opening up her faith in new ways where she can learn how to consider how to grow faster, how to make sure things are real. You know, is this real? Is this a real word? Is this real information? Or is this just something that's coming through my head, coming through somebody else's head? Is it really from God? You know, and not being afraid to test things out. The Bible says, test and see if I will not bore you out of blessing. You know, so I think God's into tests. I think he likes this testing and proving and not afraid to experiment with what we know. You know, if we knew everything about God, then we wouldn't need to experiment with it or test it. Or we just step into it and we walk into the glory of God. No, you test it. You learn how to work it. You learn how to develop it. Yeah. So really, really important. Okay, I think I just took this number, right? Didn't I just pray over you before you?
No, this is Greg from Arizona.
Oh, hey, Greg, of course. I should know that number. All right, my brother. I don't know. Thank you, Jesus, for my brother Greg. Thank you, Lord, for Greg, God. I thank you, Father, for learning how to sit at the table and eat from the Lord. How to eat from the Lord. He's going to prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemies. And in order to do that, you have to learn how to eat from him, the food that that feeds you, kind of like food that your enemies don't mess with you. You don't get distracted by them. You don't start looking to them like when Peter started looking at the storm instead of looking to Jesus. You know, he got distracted. And so that's the big thing with all of us. The thing I've learned in my life, Greg, is that how to focus. God really wants to show you you know, one of the keys is focusing on God, focusing on, you know, what he's showing you to do. And focus is everything. I found that, you know, the reason Peter failed many times because he lost his focus. He got distracted. And God, how many times have I got distracted and just almost immediately go down? You know, it's like there's no guarantee that if you get your eyes off Jesus, that you're not going to start sinking. You will. It's just going to happen. It's also teaches us the fear and reverence of all of God, where we know if we get our eyes off the Lord, we're going to sink. We want to sink? No. Why? So the fear and reverence of all of God. Okay, if I get my eyes off Jesus, if I quit focusing on him, I'm going to sink. I'm going to fail. And we don't want to do that. And so I see, God, you really have a great ability in you to focus on stuff. And I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but once you focus on something, dude, you're dangerous. It's like once you get seen and you focus you get focused on it. Well, it took me years to learn how to do that in Jesus. It took me learn a long, long time. Because I was always like AD, what do you call that? AD, LD, whatever they call it. Obsessive compulsive with things, you know, but once I learned how to, in Christ, to take that negative thing and turn it into a positive thing, where my focus, once I got focused on something, I was dangerous, man. And I was hearing from God, that God was, you know, things were going on, I'm getting revelation all the time. Why? Because I've learned how to focus on him. So I see God really showing you how to focus on him and bringing you through things. When you go through a battle and you struggle, and you're tempted to look at all the reasons why you shouldn't do something or why you shouldn't be a blessing or whatever, you look to God and you go, well, God, you know, I'm going to keep my eyes on you. Help me focus. And now these days I'm so focused most of the time that, you know, I can't even break my focus because I've practiced it so long that, you know, I'm not, you know, we can grow more in our focus in different levels, but the area of focus that I've been in, give me to hear from God about many things because he taught me how to focus. He snatched my attention and captured my mind. Capturing your mind means your focus. All right. Cool, man. All right. Let's go here to 903-918. Who am I talking to you right from, please?
Michelle from Texas.
Hi, Michelle. Michelle, thank you, Michelle. At the same time, you know, when your heart is tender in Christ, when people wound that tender part of you, it really connects you to the love of Jesus. But when our tenderness on our own, people wound our own tender heart, our physical, you know, whatever, our own human, you know, tenderness, it causes pain, suffering, right? We go through things. But when the tenderness of Jesus is in you and people try to, you know, people don't understand it, so they maybe try to test it and see what's going on with it. And what happens is that it causes you to connect into compassion. I see you really connecting into compassion of the Lord, that God giving you compassion. You've been able to, instead of struggling with, you know, how do I treat this person? You automatically go right into compassion. You know, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. You know, I'm going to bless this person, do good to them. Compassion does that. And so when you walk in compassion, you hardly ever have unforgiveness because compassion is always forgiving those and blessing those who do you wrong or misunderstand you or whatever. And it's a real protection thing with God. So, yeah. So it's a new structure in your life, God teaching you how to, you know, walk in compassion. And the spirit of compassion is already in you, of course. But through that tender heart you have, the compassion of Jesus is really going to manifest and bring results to help people. Yeah. At 919-995, who am I talking to you from, please?
Cheryl, North Carolina.
Hi, Cheryl. Cheryl, thank you, Jesus, for Cheryl. I see the blood of Jesus over you. I see the blood of the Lamb over you. I see the blood of Christ being activated. I'm not sure exactly what that's for. You know, like when we put the blood on the doorpost, that's the blood being activated for covenant. I see God really showing you how to activate your covenant with him by his by the blood, by, you know, that was the whole thing. Communion is all about Christ shedding his blood on the cross, his flesh being ripped and torn, right? All that is about covenant. It's all about covenant. And so God really connecting you to, I guess what's going on, I see the blood realm really coming forth, like God reestablishing his covenant with you. You know, that means that you have provision and protection, and God's blessings can come on you, right? So just human blessings or worldly blessings, which bring sorrow, but the blessings of God, no sorrow. And I thank you, Lord, for adding your blessings to Cheryl tonight, Father, in Jesus' name, where she can wake up and go, God, you're adding to me. You're multiplying me. You are adding to me. It's not me adding to me. It's not the world adding to me. It's not just happenstance adding to me. You are adding to me. And when God adds to you, girl, the devil can't take it away. The devil can't steal it. When the world adds to you or you get it on your own, it can be robbed at any minute. It's just so sad. But we work so hard for all that. So, but when we work in Jesus, then we can get loaded up with all kinds of blessings. And God protects it, keeps it from being diminished or stolen or taken away. And God really showing you how to walk in it. Amen. All right, 610-969. Who am I talking to?
Shalom. Hi, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa from Pennsylvania. And I'm requesting prayer for young Devontae. He's asking for prayer. He's being oppressed, and he just delivered.
Yeah.
And so I'm asking for prayer for him as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. You're welcome. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Devontae, Father. We thank you, Father, for, you know, when we need deliverance, just because we've been thinking, you know, wrong. Or sometimes it just comes time to, it becomes a time of deliverance. Sometimes through the fires and trials we go through, those thought processes, those things that will be called deliverance, start coming to the surface. They start taking over our thought processes. Sometimes we think we're just doing a bunch of wrong thinking, and in some ways we are, but it's sometimes stuff comes up, the fire of God, because you're praying for him. The fire of God brings things to the surface where they start showing up. When they come to the surface, they show. They manifest. They're like going, yeah. So we just thank you, Lord, for scooping that off, Father, in the name of Jesus, where you scoop that off the top of his mind, wash his mind, cleanse his mind, Jesus. Thank you for the fire of God that's been on his life, Father, to draw him in, to protect him, to keep him in Jesus' name. And, so sometimes that fire causes that stuff to come to the surface. And when it's just time to scoop it off, then it's ready. Right. So we thank you, Jesus, that that's the case. We just thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. And whatever things he's been thinking into, whatever, that's all part of, you know, sometimes it's usually what's already there, DNA-wise. And then so it starts manifesting, and we have all these thoughts and all these things going on. And it is what's like inside of us, in our DNA. So getting cleansed, you know, mentally, you know, demonically or whatever, is a beautiful thing. But if we don't get our cellular realm changed, it just keeps coming back. It goes in cycles. So we got to stop the cycle. Amen. Show us how to stop the cycle, Lord, with my brother. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, for my sister, God, Jesus' name, for Lisa, Father, we thank you for the mountains and the valleys. We thank you, Lord, through the mountains, and I praise them in the valleys. I don't know what song that is, but I love that song. And I praise them in the valleys. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. Yeah, whatever song it is, I feel like you must have listened to that song. I don't even know what it is, but there you go. So I just see God really doing a worship thing with you, starting to give you answers to things by worship, by putting a song in your heart, and building an altar inside you. Yeah, of dedication, of recommitment, of you know, we're always recommitting our life to Jesus all the time, right? So I thank the Lord for building those altars in her heart, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, where she can connect to you in ways and be able to pray for others through the altar you put within her heart, God. The sweet smelling savor as, you know, a hot fire that causes things to, you know, burn and burn out and burn and come to the surface. And it, you know, like with Devante, and you scoop it off there in Jesus' name. And then we deal with all that being part of the DNA situation. Thank you, Lord, for that altar, God, a new altar being built with her, Father, in Jesus' name, concerning the that very thing. Yeah, the cellular, the DNA, the root realm. Now, God's going to give you some answers about the root realm. Amen. Let's, we get that. John the Baptist laid the axe of the root, so did Jesus. Yeah. Okay. All right, 251-229, you want to talk to me something?
Hi, Prophet Randy, how are you?
Good. Sarah?
Yes, yeah, Sarah from Alabama.
All right, Sarah. Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, on Wednesdays, what we do is we ask you to give your first name and what state you're from, even if I already know who you are. Just part of the show on Wednesday. So thank you, Sharon. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the rough places, God. I thank you, Lord, for, you know, God, smoothing out your mountains and your valleys. Like the scripture talks about where he levels, he brings more of a level land where he, our mountains fill up our valleys and where we can walk more of a, you know, a level walk, a walk of dreams, but just, you know, blessed and walking in favor and knowing that God is on your side, God is for you, and that we don't worry about things as much. We're gay, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, right? I'll fear no evil, right? And so, why? Because thou art with me. So you start realizing more and more and more that God is with you, and literally with you, and you see, God, sometimes God shows us all the different ways that he's been with us, so then we'll go, oh, yeah, you're with me there, and with me there, and with me there, and with me there. I didn't even see it, God. You're so gracious. You're so kind. And he starts showing you all the different ways he's with you so that you build your confidence in him that he's with you. So you don't fear evil. Evil's going to come to all of us. It's going to tempt us. It's going to do all kinds of things. It's going to try to mess with our family, all that. But we don't. If we enter into fear of evil, then it gives the enemy a grip. So we don't enter into fear of the enemy because we know why God is with us. I fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. Thank you, Lord, for that. Pray. We don't pray in fear. We pray in confidence that God is on our side. Why? Because he convinces us. He's better at convincing us, Sarah, that he's on our side than anybody can be. Great testimonies are great, but you know God's doing something with somebody else. But there's nothing like God showing you that he's blessing you, he's watching you, he's protecting you, he's keeping a watch over you. So thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. And that you're keeping a watch over her, Father, that you're letting her spirit man know, comforting her heart, her soul, so she will know that you are with her. She doesn't have to fear evil at all in any fashion or form, not disease, not sickness, not poverty, not anything. Wow, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for prosperity and blessing. My sister, in Jesus' name, bring her to a whole other level of prospering right now by the power of God. Okay. 402-214, I'm going to talk to you something.
Yeah, hi, Randy. It's Sharon. Thank you. New York.
Sharon from New York. Thank you, Sharon. Yes, God, I thank you, Father, for the love songs of heaven, for the love songs of, Lord, in the night seasons, just sing love songs over Sharon, God, love songs. The love of God, how much you love her, how much you love her family, how much you just love. You are love. You don't have to struggle to love because you are love. And I thank you, Lord, for singing songs of love over her in the night, singing songs of love over her, Father, so she'll wake up feeling loved, feeling comforted. Feeling like, you know, I don't know if the angels do that. I don't know who does that exactly. The choir of heaven or your own angel. I'm not sure exactly who does that. But singing songs over you, kind of like a thing of warfare, doing battle. You know, sometimes God sends the praisers out when he wants to win a big battle. He'll send, like Jehoshaphat, he'll send the warriors out of the worshiping warriors, and they will never throw, you know, a sword or, you know, use their sword, nothing. It's the sword, the shield, the buckler, it's all worship. It's all singing. So I thank you, Lord, for putting that song, putting songs in Sharon's heart, God, where she can have something to sing along with, to worship you, and to worship God, and be thankful and be grateful for all the blessings that you bless her with, God. Amen. And that spirit that tries to oppress her and vex her and tell her God's not with her and God's not on her side, Father, I thank you that you're always with us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Open up the all. I'm always with you. Never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. In the name of Jesus, I am always low. I am always with you. Do it in song. Do it in worship songs, God. Somehow do that in her life in the name of Jesus. All right, 951-966.
Hi, Prophet. This is Regina.
Hi, Regina. All right, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Regina. Thank you, Lord, for the heartaches that she's gone through, God, that have made her heart more, you know, tough in the right kind of way, tough love, where she doesn't just let anything go around. She doesn't just let anything happen. She takes authority over things in Jesus' name and takes dominion over things, that she does not allow certain things to come in her dwelling. If she's in somebody else's dwelling, there's all kinds of things that go, but come inside her dwelling. Psalm 91, where it says, it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. And God's shown you, Regina, how to stop things from coming near you, coming in your dwelling place. And your dwelling place is kind of like in your mind or in your heart or in your thoughts and starting to, you know, cause trouble. And so God's shown you how to take authority over that. In Jesus' name, because you have dominion over that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And I see a candle burning inside you. There's a new candle burning inside you. You know, we have seven candles burning. The candelabra, I think we have candles burning, several different candles burning inside of us, like the candelabra. And I see a new, it's a new candle. It's a big candle. And it looks like it's going to last a long time. Because it looks like it's big, and it's not some little bitty thing. It's a big thing. It's going to provide light for a long time. It's going to provide provision and peace for a long time. Yeah, really, really a solid canister-looking type of a candle with the light of God shining from it. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. The light of your provision, for the light of peace. You know, we got the light shining on us. The darkness can't surround us and make us feel intimidated. We don't yield to it. We take authority over it because we have the light to take authority. The light is the authority over darkness in Jesus' name. So thank you, Lord, for the power of your light inside of her that you've turned on a new candle. It's like a brand new candle. I don't know how to explain that other than you probably have several of them like I do, like other people do. But it's like this one is like, I don't know, maybe God added one to you or something or sometimes candles go out in our life where we go through pain and heartache and the light gets blown out through whatever. And God reignites that candle in our life. And thank you, Jesus, for that favor with God and man. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Provide for her provision, Father. Let her provision be provided from the Father in Jesus' name, from the heavenlies. It comes with the protection of God all over it. Man, it can't be stolen or robbed or taken. Protected by God in Jesus' name. Anybody tries to touch it, you know, God deals with them. Yep. All right. 623-282. I'm going to talk to your friend, please.
God bless you, Prophet Randy. Carmen from Texas.
Oh, hey, Carmen. All right, Carmen, good to have you. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Carmen. Thank you, Lord, for the heart you've given her to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, to be wealthy with all the right wealth. And financial blessings are great, but if you don't have physical health, what good does that do? You know, some of the richest people in the world have died from things because they had no medical, they had not no faith in God, I guess, and they just couldn't break through. So thank you, Jesus, for giving Carmen, that understanding of how the wealth of Jesus is, come buy of me gold tried in the fire. And, so we do buy from God, but we do it by fire. We do it by faith. We don't do it with money, not physical money. And God's showing you how to purchase from him gold tried in the fire. Come buy of me gold tried in the fire. And I see you doing that. I see flames around you, around kind of like a circular, half circular thing around you in the front of you. And the flames, the fire, like, come buy of me gold in the fire. So the riches, the treasures, the glory of God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Open that up for her, Father, in a way she's never seen or known before, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Partaking of purchasing from God by faith, right? Because there is a buying realm in heaven, but it's not with money. Right? It's not. You can have no money and come buy of him with your faith and your love. And so I see God really showing you how to use your currency, and especially that that's been in the fire. And the more the fire that there was in it, involved in it, the more high quality that it is. Right, the more valuable that it is. Yeah. Clear, like I see clear stones, clear coins. They look clear because I think when the gold is purified, really pure, like the streets are full of gold, but they're clear because they're so pure. So I don't know what that is, but I see clear gold coins that you can see through them because the gold is so pure. Amen. Come and buy me gold tried in the fire. Wow, interesting. I don't know if that means exactly, but I'll take some of that. That's for sure. All right, 214-24. Who may I talk to, right front, please? All right, 214-424-434. 214-434, are you there?
I think you're talking to me, Kimberly from Texas.
Yes, Kimberly, thank you. I got you. Kimberly, got you. Thank you. Okay. All right, Kimberly from Texas. Thank you, Kimberly, and thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, for giving Kimberly new avenues of avenues of a blessing, new avenues like sometimes we get limited with the blessings that we have, the avenues of blessing that we have, like a job or the government or, Social Security or something like that. We get blocked in by that. But I see God really, bringing to that place to where his provision for you is not according to man, not according to people, but according to the Lord. So thank you, Jesus, for Kim. Thank you, Lord, for opening her up, Father, to that place of your provision, Father, in Jesus' name, of knowing that you're going to open up new avenues, new ways for her to receive things that she needs to increase and multiply her. You're going to open up new avenues, things she has not had really much before, maybe ever. You're going to open that up, and a new avenue. You're going to go, oh, my gosh, I got a new avenue of blessing here. Wow, I got a new avenue of blessing. I got a new way to get blessed here. Yes, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for that and opening that up for her, Father, and connecting her with people that she can love and that can love her, Father, in Jesus' name, in new ways and a new way kind of love. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. And for those new avenues of friendships. This is not just about money. It's about friendships also. Yeah. Yeah, all of a sudden opens up. Boom. Okay. Go here to 608-980-960.
Hey, Shannon in Wisconsin.
Shannon. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you, Lord, for Shannon, for that, Father. For the fear of the Lord, God, that you're developing him, the fear and reverential awe of God, where any demon, any devil, anybody that tries to mess with you, they're going to have to go through God and go through his displeasure of how he feels when people mess with his child, mess with his children. Okay, it's like a protection thing where God is protecting you from saints. So thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you, Lord, for my brother, God, for opening up new ways to develop provision for him too, develop new wealth, develop new new ways to produce money, to open that up for him, God. And Jesus, thank you for giving confirmation and wisdom that he doesn't have to be limited to where he's at, what's going on. But when we have a covenant with you, God, there is no limitation. As long as we just keep stepping up by faith and we don't give up. Anyone tries to come and harm you or mess with you, God's going to show you that he's reverential fear and awe of God's going to show you. It's not only do you fear him and reverence him, but the devil will fear and reverence him in and through you and around you. Yeah, they're connected. So the devil's definitely fear and tremble when Jesus came here because he totally obeyed the Father and he had authority to the Father. And the devil did not like that at all. Okay. I think that was my last caller. Looks like there was somebody else there, and I was fixing to get them, and now they're gone. Okay, I don't know what happened with that exactly, but if you don't have your hand up, if you realize I'm not going to call your number because you don't have your hand up, like right now I'm going to call you, I'm not going to call you more numbers because nobody else has their hand up. So if you're sitting there wondering why hasn't he had been able to pray for me yet, call my number, is because you don't have your hand up. And we give people the respect and honor to let them sit there and, listen and learn or listen and observe without being a mess with. So that's the way we do it. Okay. Nicole, did you get a...
Hey, Randy, it's me.
What's going on, girl?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing okay. I was listening and I fell asleep. It's a little bit late here, but I'm awake again.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I didn't know because I called your number a little while ago and I prophesied over you anyway because I knew it was. I said, I know who this is. But hey, you weren't snoring or anything. That was really good, I guess.
Amen.
You know how many snores we have on PGN, including me probably. But I prayed over you earlier. So is there any special prayer requests I can pray over before I move on here?
Not that I can think of. Thank you.
Okay. Nicole has a show on, as I said earlier when I took her number earlier, that she has a show on Sundays at 12, very, very unusual hour. We don't normally have shows at that time, so I know people are not used to that yet. But if you will send me your number, I will text you that information. That's all you get is text about alerts about shows that are on. And she has a show every Sunday at about 12 noon Central Standard Time. So we will let you know about that. And she teaches like a professor. She's a real professor. And teaches the Book of Revelation, the mysteries of the Book of Revelation, how to understand the Book of Revelation, the secrets of the Book of Revelation. It's really cool. I got to listen to the whole thing last week. Really awesome. And so I recommend it to everybody. All right. And also, I'm going to send her some questions that I have. I was able to get them in last week because there was noise all around me when I was listening to her show, so I couldn't call in. But I want to, there's a lot of questions people have about this. It's a very intense, thing, the end times. And so people don't really know what to ask sometimes, what's going on. Just ask anything. And I want to ask some questions. She'll be answering them for me. I'm going to give them to her here in the next day or so. Probably today's, Wednesday, Thursday, maybe Thursday or Friday. I'll send them to her. And then she'll be answering my questions for me. And she'll answer your questions too, so. All right, y'all, I guess that's it for tonight. That was my last caller was that. So, there we go. We got another caller. That's think it's Marcy. 954-580.
Hello, this is Caroline Jamaica.
Hi, Jamaica. Caroline in Jamaica. All right, Caroline. Thank you, Caroline. Glad we didn't miss you. We almost missed you there. I was fixing to move on. We've got to pray for Martine. Martine just text me and let me know that she's there. So thank you, Martine. We'll get that in a minute. All right. Caroline from Jamaica. Thank you, Caroline. Thank you, Lord, for Caroline, Father. I thank you for new clothing. I see you getting new clothing. God clothing you with new clothing. Hopefully that's in the natural too, but we know for sure it's spiritually speaking. God is repositioning you, giving you new clothing. The clothing gets you into things like the right clothing. Like in the Bible, it talks about in the wedding feast when the person didn't have the right clothing on. They recognize, hey, you don't have the right wedding clothes on, like everybody else. So they, you know, ask them to leave. And so having the right clothing, so to show up to spiritual events with God, to enter into places of prayer, enter into places, secret places, you have to have the right clothing on. Well, the devil and even God will recognize and go, man, you don't belong in here. So I see God that connecting you to new clothing. In other words, where you can enter into new spiritual places without being told to leave because you have the right clothing, new clothing, right clothing. So thank you, Jesus, that you're clothing her with power, clothing her with certain kinds of understanding and wisdom, God, certain kinds of calling in her life where she will realize that what we need is not clothing usually comes from revelation from heaven. We get revelation from God or understanding from God that usually comes in the form of clothing us. We get clothed upon with, you know, revelation from heaven. So it's about clothing, learning from God, God teaching. So obviously you're learning some things and he's teaching you some stuff and you got some new clothing going on where you can, you know, go into realms of the spirit that you haven't been able to go into and without being booted out, you know, or saying you can't stay here. You don't have the right authority. And so God's doing that with you and really cool. All right, Martine from California. Thank you, Martine. Sorry, I forgot you earlier, but thank you, Jesus, for Martine. I see like a piggy bank, but it's like a kind of a bowl with money in it, with coins or something in it. It's just a little bowl. Yeah, it's like a little bowl with money in it, you know, coins and that kind of thing. Treasures. It seems like treasures. I want to say treasures. It's got treasures in it. So I see like you collecting little treasure chest things, like, you know, like little treasures here, little treasure there. And pretty soon you got it all over the place. Pretty soon you're going like, wow, I got enough treasure here to go buy me a house. I got enough treasure here to go buy me a car. I got enough treasure here to go, you know, support Brother Randy more or something like that. That would be cool. So God giving you all these little treasure containers where your treasures are being, you know, put in there little by little. You don't even realize unless you have until one day you wake up and go, oh my gosh, look at all this. So thank you, Lord, for the hidden treasures. Thank you for the treasures with Martine, God, that you're rewarding her with for her obedience to you, Jesus, that she's going to find herself with abundance, with extra. It's more than enough instead of barely making it. In Jesus' name, open up that whole realm, that divine realm for her, Father, of more than enough. MTE realm. I never even put that together before. More than enough, yeah. MTE. The MTE realm. More than enough. And what's really strange, what I saw with that is like, it's like you had like these little containers like in different rooms of the house or something, some in the closet, some sitting at the, you know, maybe in the cabinet or something, and some sitting at the kitchen table or whatever. And they just started building up little, you know, brass coins and gold coins and different coins. And I realized, oh, yeah, that's like a treasure. The way it shines, the way it just reminds you of a treasure. So I see those things adding up, and you haven't. There's many of it is there. But there's much there because it's so spread out everywhere. It doesn't seem like it's that much until you put it all together. So I thank you, Lord, for that treasure room for her, Jesus. Open that up for her, God. Nurture her, feed her. Father, that you are there to take care of her, that you have more than enough for her. Amen. All right. Carmen says, can you pray for my uncle, Junior? He had a heart attack and almost died. He was resuscitated. He is in the hospital again. Bless his heart. My uncle, Junior. Yes, Lord, we pray for Uncle Junior tonight, God. Comfort him, Father. Let him find faith in you, Jesus, at this point. Let him find, let him replace his fears, the fears of death, the fears of, you know, where am I at? What am I doing with faith in Jesus? God, I thank you for replacing the hurt and the pain in his life with comfort and joy, God, that he's getting things right with you, that he's repenting, that he's forgiving, that he's loving, that he's not being a respecter of persons and prejudice and putting himself over other people. But God, that he's putting you first. And thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Comfort him, bless his heart, God. Heal his heart, touch his heart. God, and let all this turn for the glory of God to help him to know Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And he's the Messiah. Okay, awesome. Okay, y'all. I think that's about it. I think that was my last caller, my last prayer request. So I guess I'm going to call it a night. Thank you. You're welcome, Carmen. Thank you. Thanks for letting me get in on that. Okay. So welcome to the prophetic place. Even though we're getting ready to go bye-bye, if we missed you tonight, maybe you just need to learn the system a little bit better, maybe, and God will show you. We can never miss out on being prayed for, getting prophesied over, and God blessing you. All right. Okay. All right. Oh, pray for healing for my body. Yes. Martine wanted to pray healing in her body. I didn't see that, Martine. I didn't read the whole text. Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for peace to her body. I speak rest to her body. I speak the peace that passes understanding to her body. Right now, in Jesus' name, I speak that her body will line up with the Word of God, to be made whole, to be comforted by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, and release all the toxins and all the things that would from the things her body's been suffering over this. In the name of Jesus, all the toxins be washed out and cleansed and washed in Jesus' name by the blood of Christ. I plead the blood of Jesus over Martine tonight, God, touching her body right now, strengthening her in Jesus' name. She will be made whole suddenly in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Pat, I think Pat was trying to call in. I don't know. Let me see. I didn't see you in the queue, but you just called me, so... hopefully that was to get my attention. If it is, that's awesome. Do a good job. All right, Pat. Thank you, Lord, for Pat. We thank you, Jesus, for learning how to rest in you, Jesus, teaching her how to rest in you, Lord. She can be awake and working hard and be resting in you. Resting in you means trusting God at deeper levels, trusting in God, knowing that, you know, sometimes when I'm worried about something, you know, it affects my body. It affects the way I think. It affects the way, you know. And so once I realize that I'm worried about something and I give it to the Lord, you know, my body just starts healing up. My body just kind of starts lining up. Things just start happening. Because anxiety and stress, you know, it just has a way of getting in there. Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He experienced stress at the highest level. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. So he understands about stress. But I thank you, Lord, for being with Pat, Father, in the stressful times of her life. Now that you're showing her how to peek out and enter into rest when, you know, when she doesn't worry about things or get overly concerned about things, So the devil doesn't use the spirit of worry to get you to make you feel like if you're not worrying, you're not doing something good. The devil is a liar. I cast that devil out last night. The spirit of worry makes people feel like if they don't worry, they're not very compassionate. They're not very kind. You're not worried about them. The devil is a liar. So I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, that Pat is a faith-filled woman who hears the voice of God. It serves Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that you bring the friends that she needs around her that are friends with God, that care more about what God thinks than what she or they think about themselves. In Jesus' name, bring that friendship around her, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. All right. If you fell asleep tonight, if I missed you, prayed over you anyway. So you don't always have to be there for me to get to pray over you. I just pray over you anyway. I love praying for God's people, so it's fun to me. I just absolutely love it. So there you go. All right. Pat, hope you got that word there, that prayer. In Jesus' name, be encouraged. Hallelujah. All right, y'all, I guess we're going to call it a night tonight. I think that's it. As I can tell, no more callers calling in. Nobody texting me. So we are going to go bye-bye. Bye-bye.